Today's scripture is from Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. Let's read together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they are sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation and under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are all this was speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Phoenicians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and say, "They have had too much wine." You may have seen. So today's sermon, I'm talking, the title of the sermon is, "What Tongues Are You Speaking?" So as you heard, English is not my native language, so you can hear my Chinese accent into it. I still remember, you know, when I learned all the language, learn English when I was in the elementary school, I consider myself, you know, good at study, smart kid. I'm good at Mandarin, math. I just, you know, learn all the stuff, and remember them, get good score in the test. But English is really the subject I struggle the most, because there's some English word I just don't know how to pronounce. No matter how hard I try today, even till today, you know, when I talk, you know, how much pain you are in, I just want to ask patient, you know, how hurt they are. And they never understand me because I never know how to pronounce that pain. So it's really interesting that as a Chinese-born citizen, I need to learn the English. And still remember, you know, the day Lily and Mimi invited me to the Myanmar prayer service, and everyone pray in their own tribe language. I sit down there, you know, I really try really hard to join the prayer, but truly I really don't understand what they're talking about. And every tribe has their own language. So that's, if we have any experience with learning a different foreign language, French, Spanish, and it's quite a humbling experience. Like, once again, we don't know how to express everything. You know, hard to say, "I want a cup of water." Like, we need to kind of dismantle every bit of knowing and language we know and start a new journey for a new language. So, I just like, we see when we read in the scripture, that seems what happened, the very first thing. Our disciples, they receive spirit. They suddenly start speaking other people's native language. Yeah, that's, I suppose I should ask for Holy Spirit when I was in middle school, of elementary school, so I can speak English well. But it's, so let's start kind of looking into the scripture. Like, that's a scripture, like a story about language. So let's start at Pentecost. So, what's the Pentecost? Pentecostal, it's 50 days right after the Passover. It's a traditional festival when the Jewish people will come back to Jerusalem and they celebrate sacrifice with the firstborn, all the fruits, all the lamb, the sacrifice. So what's the problem here? If you have, let's say you have Thanksgiving and Christmas, how many days are between that? Like 40 days or so? So many people come home for Thanksgiving and back to work and come back for Christmas. But for Jewish people, like they came to Jerusalem for Passover, and 50 days later, they need to come back again to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. So it has a problem. Like if my traveling distance is like 30 days, it's not going to happen. Like I come back to my home and come back to Jerusalem once again for Pentecost. So what's their choice? They have only one choice, is to stay in Jerusalem, wait for 50 days, and after Pentecost, they come back to their home. So that's why we see like why there are so many nations, but they are Jews. Other people convert to Jews. They have no choice but to stay in Jerusalem to wait for that Pentecost. So all of them are faithful people. If they are not faithful, they will not stay to 50 more days to celebrate. So how the Jewish will actually celebrate the Pentecostal festival? I guess there is probably no big difference from how we celebrate in the church service today. We eat together, and when we eat together, and then we sit together and around, someone will stand in the middle and read the scripture for that festival. And what's the festival? What's the Pentecostal festival celebrate for? I will not let you guess, but I will tell you the answer directly. The Pentecostal festival is the celebration for Moses get up on the mountain and receive the words from God. So I can imagine, I can have an image, very vivid image, a bunch of Jewish people, they sit together and one come into the middle and start read scripture like this. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like a smoke of king, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And just imagine exactly the moment they read that, they hear a sound blasting in the Jerusalem. What happened? The Holy Spirit came. Exactly in a group, as you imagine, not like a huge church. Imagine a little house. Little house with probably 40 people, 120 people, probably around the size of our church today. A little group of people pray in the second floor of the house. And when they pray, right after the ascend of Christ, nobody know what to do. Nobody know where they're going to stand to. And suddenly the Spirit come, just like Moses heard the come of God. Huge blast happened in Jerusalem. In the first time, what Pentecostal was set up for is God's presence descended to Mount Sinai, and Moses received the word of God. And this time, once again, the power of God, God's presence once again descended to Jerusalem. Everyone in the same form of fire and sound and thundering. But this time, not like Moses, people don't need to climb up on the mountain. This time, God's Holy Spirit descended directly to this, I would say, like simple house, or like everyday house. That's how the Spirit works. And what they respond, right? How they respond to that? Like Moses responded to that sounding, to that trump, to that fire. And Moses received the words, received the Ten Commandments from God. That's Moses' response. Climb up on the mountain. And church response, it feels very weird. They receive the Holy Spirit and they start to speak in different language. I want to make fun of them, to be honest. Like, are you actually in wine? Like, you know, you gather together for Pentecostal and just drink too much? You know, party is okay, but like, party too much? Like, that's probably possible. And so they just, every group, let's imagine a group, probably 40 people, probably, I don't think it will be 100, but like 40 people gathered together and waiting, praying. And just at this moment, they start to speak native language. Just imagining our prayer meeting and suddenly Sam start to speak Spanish. And that feels weird, right? I will thought like, where you get that, Sam, right? Like, and we need to ask, you know, what that really means. Just from that observation, why the disciples suddenly speak different native language? We in the Acts chapter 1, we say, chapter 1 verse 8, they received the big commandment from the Lord. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So you can see like a big picture, big commandment the Lord gives to the disciples that they will speak. Not they will speak, but every nation, every people from Jerusalem to the end of earth will start speak Lord's gospel. They have the content of the message, the witness of Christ. That's what they want to declare. That's what they want to descend. But they're what the message they want to send. But they have one problem. Like, they don't have the language. They have the message, but they don't have the language. But the church is ready for that mission. The church is ready for that commandment. The church is ready to be the witness of God. And that is very first power they get from the Spirit, is to start to speak other native language. Just, they walk out. And just everyone in Jerusalem, they speak their own native language. I was struggling to read that scripture, to read, you know, like read through the menu, different nations, you know, from Egypt, from Mesopotamia, from that nation. And just feel in the scripture, they try to give us an image that there are too many nations there, too many people. There seems no way such, even all of them are Jew. Seems there are no way that you can speak to all of them. Seems no way they can be united. Seems no way the message of God can be delivered to every of them. They all need to learn Hebrew, right? They all need to learn Hebrew. They all need to learn the law. They all need to learn what God says. So if you don't know Hebrew, that's okay. You need to learn Greek. Right? If you don't know Greek, you don't know Hebrew, like, probably nothing I can do. You should humble yourself and learn what the language of God, right? And still today, in Judaism, we still say, you know, Hebrew is kind of word of God. You know, in Muslim, you know, kind of Arabic is the word of God. And there is also always a language called, you know, sacred language. And for Christianity, I guess it's English. Sorry, I'm kidding. And you don't laugh, which makes me a little bit worried about it. So, but we see for Christianity, for the early disciples, they still consider themselves as Jews, but they did not let everyone just speak in Hebrew, but the Holy Spirit gave them the power to speak in everyone's native language. No matter where they came from Egypt, from Mesopotamia, from Phoenicia, from Greek, from wherever you came from. You don't need to learn our language. We will speak in your language and you will understand the message and testimony of Christ in your own language. The church is ready. After that blast, after that sound, everyone, without, you know, like a bomb just suddenly blown up in our city, you will come out and to see what's happening, right? Exactly like this. Exactly like all the Jews celebrating Pentecostal. They come out and see what's going on. And they ask the same question. They ask the same question. What's that mean? What's that mean? They all speak in our language. And today we're going to answer the same question. What that mean? We speak in other people's language. Just reading all the nations, reading all the tribes, reading all the nationalities. It reminds me of the passage of Genesis 10. What's the Genesis 10 about? I will read. It's not 11 yet. I will read 10 first. So right before chapter 11, there's a chapter 10. What's the chapter 10 says? It's a torture of myself, but I will try it, okay? Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. The sons of Jephers, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tuvar, Masech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphaz, and Tamagar. The sons of Javan, Elihash, Tarshish, Kimton, and Dodamin. From these, the coastland people spread in their land, each with his own language, by their clans and in their nations. It's descendants of Noah. Do you feel a sense of similarity? This clans by clans, people by people, nation by nation. And they all speak different language, right? They by their own language, but they also, in chapter 11, we can say they can gather together. Even they speak different language, they can still gather together and they speak the same language. They're able to speak same language. They found the same descendant. And when they gather together, speak the same language, what did they do? They built a tower called Babel Tower. Let's read. I will read the scripture. And they started building a tower. Very tall tower. What they want to do, they want to reach the heaven. They want to see what they can do, what their power can do, what human power can reach. And I would say they're getting pretty close. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. If we read this passage closely, just see what's the... Can we go back to that? Yeah, so we can see how the Lord actually praised them. If we see there's the praise them, at least today we will consider it as a praise, is if they start to do this, if they start to build a tower like this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Wow, we say. That's quite a praise. And we can see the same today. A confidence to the humanity. If we all just gather together, we can go to the Mars. If we all gather together, we can change the world. But it's probably partially true. We are the witness, the people united together did change the world. Many times, the power of people gathered together is recognized by God. We have two things. What's that if? Right? When people gather together, when people have confidence to ourselves, it will be amazing work. But only one question. No matter how great the power is, the direction itself is wrong. It's like no matter how fast you can drive, if you drive on the wrong highway, wrong direction of highway, you're never going to go to the destination. You go the other way. Like I want to go up, and no matter how fast I drive west side, I'm never going to be there. It's the same. What's exactly the same happened in people building the Tower of Babel? No matter how powerful they are, no matter how much effort, no matter how amazing work they do, they try to be God. They try to reach God. They try to replace God's place. And they failed. They failed very hardly. God came. All they built up was destroyed like a dust. And they even did not speak the same language again. And I feel sometimes not speak the same language actually means distance and divide. I don't know if you notice that, but sometimes when you know I like to speak Mandarin, and when I speak Mandarin with some of my friends, I put up a distance with the people who could not understand us immediately. The same, we feel comfortable, but just by the fact we speak different language, pull a distance apart, human beings. And I feel language is more than just an expression. Language represents a lot. Also represents a sense of social reality. Even we all speak English, we use different vocabulary. We use different language too. Like once I visited someone who has been kind of involved with the drug abuse for a long time. And she was sharing with me how she was living in a trap house. And I was so confused. I say, what's the meaning of a trap house? You know, and she need to explain to me, you know, trap house is where you get your drugs. And you don't know that word? And yeah, sorry, I never know that word. And just let me realize, sometimes even we all speak English, it feels so different. The vocabulary we choose, the way we talk, the focus, is still a divide between us. And that's after the Tower of Babel. Just look around our world. People are talking different language. But even more than that, it's almost impossible for people to unite it once again as a human being. Today, many people like to say something, you know, like, if we all gather together, if we just love each other, if we can all have sacrificial love to each other as a human being. We can change the world. Why people don't do that? I would just say that if we gathered in Jerusalem, everyone gathered there, even they are all Jews, all consider themselves as Jews. They have different culture. They have different language. They even speak differently. They just gather together in Jerusalem to celebrate. But, this time, the Holy Spirit descended is the reverse of Tower of Babel. The people, the church, or the disciples started to say the same language once again. Not in the way we imagine, not other people suddenly speak Hebrew once again, but in this way, the church, the disciples, start to speak other people's language. What's that mean? That means the reverse of Babel. That means the reverse. That means the union was once brought back again to God's people, or even to the human being, the union by the Spirit and by the God, once again, brought back from God. What's that mean? Do you still remember what God said? If they can do that, nothing will be impossible for them. Once again, the church received the Spirit and start talking, and people start back to that union. And I think the same verse can be applied here. If they can do that, nothing will be impossible for them. But it's by the Spirit. It's by the power of God. And our world is actually no big difference from the world at that time. And what happened at that time, Jews have conflict with Romans. Jews have conflict with everyone. The people are divided like no age before. Feel the same. You know, we expected the internet will actually help human beings to unite together. But I just feel the other way. The internet can really divide people on the internet too. And exactly the same situation. But let's just imagine a group of Jews, probably 40 people, probably 120 people, in this divide, in this division of human being, they gather together by speaking other people's native language. They gather people together. They gather people around Christ. They bring union to Christ once again. So today we ask the same question, right? Like, what's that mean? Like, what's that mean? Today, we all speak different language. Today, our division is probably more severe than that age. Different nationality, different racial, different race, different ethnicity, different social reality, different power of economics, even different generation. We don't even need to go to the political difference. We are more divided than ever before. Everyone speaking our own language. What's the point? We don't want to listen. We only want to talk with the people, speak our own language that we feel comfortable, that we feel familiar, that we feel we can share. We can build a tower of Babel all together. And today, we need to ask disciples, the church, are we still able to once again receive the Spirit and just humbly attempt it, listen and try to speak other people's language? Speak the language probably not from our church, probably speak a language very different from our own social reality. Speak to the language of God in the people's native tongue. Very difficult. But we see that's what Paul did. In Jew, to the Jewish synagogue, he speaks in a Jewish way. In essence, he speaks in a philosophical way with the support of Scripture, of course. But you can see how Paul, when he shared how the church works in the beginning, they speak in people's native tongue. When I was in Africa to do a missional trip, I realized I have to learn to speak in a very different language. That means I learned their language. I tried, but I still speak English, but in their own language. What's that mean? I start talking about cows. I start talking about agriculture life. I start talking about their life experience and their social experience. And that's how they receive the gospel. They receive the gospel not by our church language. You know, not by our church language. God came and Christ died and as a substitute for your thing. So please just receive Christ and get saved. How they receive the gospel is, I quote from Luke, you know, why you don't receive the gospel? Because you still have cows need to buy, why don't you receive this invitation of banquet? Because you have more children or more call. That's how they receive the gospel. They don't want to wait. They just want to receive. And that's the same thing, even how Christ shared his gospel. He did not come down to the earth in flesh and say, you know, I'm the second personality in the Holy Trinity, and today you need to believe I'm the Son of God. That's true. But he talking to the people who are peasant, who are slaves, who are those who get despised in the Jewish community. He's talking about banquet. He used metaphor about agriculture, about seeding, about birds. That's what he is talking about. That's how Christ shared his gospel. He knows what's the native language of his listener. He knows that's the way God brings union and gospel to the people. If we only speak in our own language, and I sometimes feel our church do have our own language, very specific church language, and if we only speak that language, it might be hard because we limit ourselves to our own social reality. We limit ourselves to our own understanding. And when we don't want to listen, we don't know how to speak. And there is the truth that God's words can be expressed, can be preached, can be shared in every social reality, any social reality, and it should be. And at the end, I want to briefly mention about, you know, we like to talking about charisma, you know, gift of speaking tongues. And I think just by listening or even just reading the scripture today, you can see the receiving of Holy Spirit never made disciples to be arrogant or even take that speaking tongues as something they will be celebrated or feel themselves to be special. Speaking in other people's tongue is a humbling process. It's not for show off. It's not for you receive a special mark. It's about humbling our heart and receive the Spirit and talking in other people's native language. So today, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about Spirit, probably we have a chance to talk more. But just from this first work and first power God gave to his people, it's really about listen and talk in other people's language. So today, I challenge you, if possible, try to hold yourself and talking gospel in other people's social reality and experience. Like one of my patients, he will express God as, yeah, you know, God is my boss. Yeah, because his social reality is very different from mine. I believe God and Spirit will help us to express gospel and bring union to human being once again. It's not easy, so it's only going to be achieved by the power of Spirit and grace of God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, so easy for us, just to slip into the division, slip into the attack, slip into the tribalism that we want to attack on each other. We want to prove ourselves is right. We want to prove our own language is the most correct one. But Lord, please once again, just let your Spirit fill in us, Lord, so we can speak other people's native language. We can share the gospel in other people's social reality. in other people's life experience. Lord, please give us that spirit. Empower us once again to the people that needed your message, needed your witness in their own language. And may you bring the union and power to human beings. We pray.